This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, the revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, the Rich Cioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
George Will wrote a great piece over the weekend that I was reading, and he basically said Democrats are, let me paraphrase it by saying this, because George Will is a very smart guy. He's also not a fan of Trump. You probably might know that. Democrats are completely blowing it. He doesn't want them to win. I think he would probably, if it were up to him, probably go third party or something. I don't know. But I'm pointing this out to you because I always like to find people that are not, you know, flag wavers or pom-pom wavers and that sort of thing, just to get their assessment of things. I think it's interesting. It's much more interesting to me. Anybody can, obviously, on Fox say Democrats are disasters, except for Shepard Smith and Chris Wallace. But, well, I mean, you know. But I can tell you that when somebody else who's not really a big fan of the president says it, Houston, you've got a problem. Houston? Superman 2. Anyway, the point is that the Democrats are completely blowing it this early on, and it's so bad, some people think maybe that this is all a ruse so that somebody else can enter the race. Maybe it's just that they're setting up Michelle Obama. I mean, I've heard that theory. Maybe you've heard that theory too, that this can't possibly now be the actual group of candidates because they're doing just so badly. This is so bad. Like, for example, Cory Booker, Spartacus, Count Grand Stangelo, Spartacus. He was in Mexico, right? Goes to Mexico. He hugged babies. He walked previously deported illegal aliens across the U.S. border into El Paso. And some people were saying, why don't they arrest the guy? He's bringing people over the border because he wants to get arrested. That's the thing. He would love that. I'll tell you one thing, and this is the truth here. They're illegal aliens right there, previously deported from the United States. So there's Cory Booker, Count Grand Stangelo, Spartacus Booker. He goes down there, and he's down there with them, and he walks them back over the border, and then everybody says, why is he not? They arrest this guy. What is he doing? If I did that, I'd be arrested. You'd be arrested. What is he doing? But he wants to get arrested. And what he wants to do is he wants to write a remember how he always quotes this letter from a Birmingham jail from Dr. Martin Luther King? He always does. It's one of his big things. He wants to go to jail over this important thing. He's got nothing going for him as a presidential candidate. He's a Jersey senator, as you know, and he's not doing well in the polls. He's a gigantic hype machine. He is. Cory Booker's very good at hype. He's not the same guy who used to be the mayor of Newark because his policies have all changed, but he's playing this kind of act. But he's shaking hands with Border Patrol agents and saying hello and everything like this. And then he gets asked a question about why'd you say you wanted to abolish ICE? And he walked it back and said, I never said that. I didn't say that. That wasn't me. That must have been somebody else. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that walking back stuff happening within Democrats. This whole idea of, well, I didn't really say that. Kamala Harris raised her hand in the Democrat debate when they asked, who wants to get rid of private health insurance? She raised her hand. And then the next day she said, I misheard the question. I thought they said, who wants to get rid of their private health insurance? Which she doesn't have because she's a U.S. senator, so she has public health insurance, obviously, which you pay for. But she walked that back too. And Joe Biden is walking back the busing thing every chance he gets. Now, a lot of people believe you can be against busing and not be a racist. How do I mean that? Well, because the idea of the government coming in and taking your kids and busing them across town for the, I guess you could say, good goal of integrating schools is the kind of social engineering that ends up in a disaster. It's the kind of thing that ends up not working. And you could also say the government should not be busing my kids across town and then putting them in new schools and making things uncomfortable and awkward. Doesn't mean you're racist. As George Will points out, when the busing issue was going on back then, less than 10% of African Americans liked the idea of doing it. It was even single digits, like 6 or 7%. Nobody was happy about it back then. It was done by well-meaning liberals in Washington who said, this is how we're going to integrate society and make society better. there were a lot of unintended consequences of that, of course. For example, people who said, well, this is how the other half lives, and then there were class disputes, that sort of thing. People who didn't want to have to go to a new school, because a lot of people after a certain period of time don't want to go to a new school. And there were lots of issues that were going on. You know, parent kids would come home and now they feel the pressure because they're around kids whose parents make more money and they want better clothes. And you know, the parents, it was not, in many cases, something that the people said, this is great. But if you say that, you're immediately branded a racist. You go, well, why would you not support integrating schools? It's not that. It's just people didn't support the idea of this forced busing social engineering concept. Again, if you look at the data, and this is just the data, you look back then, you look at the time in which we were living and what was going on, and as George Will points out, it was incredibly unpopular. But now, flash forward all these years later, all Joe Biden does is apologize for it. He doesn't stand up and say, look, I was listening to my constituents, both black and white. They didn't like the idea of doing this. They didn't want to send their kids across town. They didn't want to send their kids on buses a half hour away. This is the way they felt about it. I was always for integrating schools, but people thought there were better approaches to integrating schools, like school choice, for example, which is something that Cory Booker used to support. Yeah. See, when he was mayor of Newark, when he ran on running as mayor of Newark, he was big time in a school choice, which has always been a very strong conservative idea, right? The idea that it's your money, you should be able to send your kid to whatever school you want to send your kid to. And that you could end things like segregation in schools and that sort of thing if people had the economic means to be able to do it. And what I mean by that is whatever you pay in property taxes, you get that as a check, a voucher, whatever. You use that at the school of your choice. And that's been a conservative position. It's been in the Republican platform for years. It's something the President Trump supports. It's something every president has Republican supported, but something that the teachers union has always opposed, vehemently opposed. Why, you might ask? Well, money, because it means less money theoretically for the public schools. Because a lot of people would take that check, that voucher, whatever. They'd go to a Catholic school. They'd go to a Quaker school. They would not go to the public school, or they'd go to a public school, but it just wouldn't be the one in their town. It might be the one a town over. So the teachers union has always been against it. They've fought charter schools. They fought all of it. Some people back then suggested that that was the better way to integrate schools, school choice, not putting kids on buses and driving them, in some cases, an hour to go to another school. And this idea of, okay, now be friends, everybody be friends now and pretend like this never happened, was not going to be the best strategy. But if you explain that, as I just did, especially in the Democrat Party today as you're running for president, you're immediately branded a racist. And so instead of pushing back on that and saying, that's silly, that's ridiculous to suggest that, Joe Biden apologizes for it. Joe Biden apologizes and says, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And what happens when Kamala Harris stands up and goes, I was that kid who was helped by busing. I was that kid. And all Joe Biden can do is stand up there like a dope and say, well, yeah, I'm so sorry. And their strategy of flip-flopping and changing their position on things is so incredibly stupid because it looks like none of them have an actual backbone. George Will's column, this is very good. Many Democrats striving to replace Donald Trump are paying him the sincerest form of flattery, imitation. What does he mean by that? He means that they're out there just trying to get attention at any way possible, When Kamala Harris, the senator from California, was asked a question about abolishing private health insurance in favor of a government-run plan, the question was, quote, many people watching at home have health insurance through their employer. Who here would abolish their private insurance in favor of a government-run plan? Kamala Harris raised her hand as quickly as Senator Elizabeth Warren, who did the night before, and said, I'm with Bernie Sanders. The next morning on MSNBC, Harris said, no, I do not support ending private health insurance, saying that she misheard the question. And she's also now said on many, many occasions that she wants to get rid of private health insurance. But she keeps trying to change her mind on this because she flip-flops. And when you ask yourself the other question, too, why do you keep flip-flopping? It's because it's the problem that the Democrats find themselves in today. To win the nomination, they have to go to the far left. Their base wants it. But these positions are not popular in the mainstream of a general election. There are a lot of people who have strong opinions on the left. There are a lot of people who have strong opinions on the right. There are many people that have a little bit of both. But in a general election, nobody really votes for extremes. They really don't. People, obviously, primary voters do. But for a lot of Americans who just come out every 4 years, they're not looking for extreme positions on things. They're looking for other qualities, good economy, leadership, that sort of thing. So a lot of these positions just simply don't play in the general election. Will writes this. He says, nothing did more to fuel the conservative ascendancy in the 1980s and the 1970s enthusiasm of some judges and politicians for the compulsory busing of other people's children away from their neighborhood schools, assigning children to schools on the basis of skin color in order to engineer a desired racial balance. In a 1973 Gallup poll, just 4% of whites and 9% of blacks chose busing from among a variety of means of achieving integration. Kamala Harris chose this issue as to just bludgeon Joe Biden on the debate stage. Joe Biden, evidently lacking the courage of what was supposedly his convictions at one point, had neither the gumption or the mental nimbleness to ask whether, as president, she would favor reviving the compulsory busing of children away from their homes that many parents, black and white, purchased because of their proximity to desirable neighborhood schools. So he's trying to contortion himself. And this is what happens, right? They say, well, that's racist. And you go, no, there were other ways to achieve this, but this was not the only way. Well, you didn't support that way, so now you're racist. And Joe Biden has to do the old flip-flop. I'm sorry, I'm walking it back. I'm sorry, I'm walking it back. And I don't know, as he does this, they've seen an opening to keep branding him now as a guy who is, in fact, a racist, which is amazing. And then, of course, he praised the segregationists, as Chris Matthews calls them, the Seggies. And he praised them. And so now he's got to walk that back, too. And he says he was wrong to give that impression. Wrong to give the impression that he was praising the Seggies. In Joe Biden's defense now here, he actually uses the word, he doesn't say Seggies like Chris Matthews did on MSNBC. Cut three.
Now, was I wrong a few weeks ago to somehow give the impression to people that I was praising those men who I successfully opposed time and again? Yes, I was. I regret it. And I'm sorry for any of the pain or misconception they may have caused anybody. Should that misstep define 50 years of my record for fighting for civil rights, racial justice in this country? I hope not. I don't think so. That just isn't an honest assessment of my record. And I'm going to let my record and my character stand for itself and not be distorted or smeared.
And yet he keeps changing his record and his character. And that's the problem. He keeps changing everything. So Count Grantsangelo, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band, Cory Booker, he's very frustrated. Very frustrated this took so long.
I'm frustrated that it took so long, but I'm grateful for him doing this. We can't have a leader that can't stand up and say, I've been imperfect.
I mean, did I not set the clip up, Greg, appropriately?
You did.
Did I not give every... I set this up.
I mean, there was really no...
I'm frustrated that it took so long.
Let me set it up again. Ready? Now, Cory Booker is frustrated that Biden's apology took so long.
I'm frustrated that it took so long, but I'm grateful for him doing this. We can't have a leader that can't stand up and say, I've been imperfect, I made mistakes, and I apologize. So I'm sorry we had to go through all this. I'm sorry at one point he tried to shift blame to me, but I'm grateful. I just want to say thank you. We need to extend grace to each other, and I'm never going to not accept somebody I respect and admire that finally has come to terms with this and has apologized.
I had tears of rage.
Now he's got grace. Tears of race and tears of, what is it now? Tears of rage and tissues of grace.
No,
I think that is tears of rage and tissues of grace. Yeah, it was happy tissues or?
Oh no.
No, they're tears of they're tears of grace tissues. That's what they are.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Joe Biden, it's amazing to me how bad his campaign is doing. It really is amazing. I'm thinking about this now from the context of how many Democrats don't want this guy to win the nomination. And everybody's kind of been saying what I've been saying for probably a year now, that I don't think Joe Biden's going to get the nomination. I don't think he survives this primary process. And if he does, he's going to have made himself so woke that by the time he gets it, he's going to be a terrible general election candidate. Really is. The problem right now is that the Democrat Party is demanding that every candidate go so far left in order to get the nomination The stuff they got to say, the stuff they got to do is not going to play well in places like Pennsylvania. I'm telling you right now, if you are one of these guys who's going out there as a Democrat and saying climate change is going to be everything and you're going to shut down coal and you are not going to do well in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, you're not going to do well in these places. This is the problem. I mean, you'll do well within the woke community and you'll do well within the brunch crowd and everything like that, but you already got those voters. So whatever voters you were trying to win back, in other words, if you were to look at the 2008 Obama map and the 2016 Trump map, and you would say, Obama, the people that he appealed to, can Democrats win those states back? Can they win Iowa back, for example? Can they win those states? Can they win Pennsylvania back? Not if you go out there with a message that is so hard left, you won't be able to appeal to people. And this is the problem, though. The problem is that you might be a mainstream Democrat listening to me right now. You might hear me and think to yourself, you know what? That's not who I am. I'm not into this leftist nonsense, but they're not appealing to you right now. They're appealing to the people on the hardcore base. And that's why they're all out lefting each other. And as part of that now, as part of being woke, you have to, in many cases, undo all the things you ever said. Joe Biden has zero political backbone. None. The guy he doesn't care what he says. He'll say whatever he has to say to get elected. Joe Biden is the kind of guy that wherever the wind blows, he'll go in that direction and he won't even worry about it. So if the wind's blowing towards Democrats being tough on crime, he's there. If the wind blows and Democrats now want to let everybody out of jail, he's there. Whatever he's got to be, he'll be it. And he's happy to let you know that. He'll be whatever you want him to be. That's literally his slogan. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Just tell me who you want me to be and I'll be it. Years ago, Joe Biden was this big tough on crime guy. And now he's put out this criminal justice reform bill to, as the headline at Reason.com says, Joe Biden wants to undo all of the criminal bills put by Joe Biden. Joe Biden wants to undo Joe Biden in every single way. So he puts out this whole thing about how he's gonna be the guy that heals America with his crime bill, his new criminal justice reform. But here's a little collection of all the things that Joe Biden stood for and did, leading to now Joe Biden needing to undo all the things Joe Biden did. Take a listen.
I was the fellow who, in the so-called Biden crime bill years ago, put 100,000 cops in the street that the Clinton administration made work incredibly well. I do have a record of significant accomplishment. The crime bill, which became known as the Clinton crime bill, was written by Joe Biden, the Biden crime bill.
I have experience of doing that. I did it on the crime bill. It was the Biden crime bill that became the Clinton crime bill that allowed him to do that.
Well, that's what I've done my whole career, Gwen, on very, very controversial issues, from dealing with violence against women to putting 100,000 police officers in the street. To
the Violence Against Women Act, the crime bill.
I was passing the crime bill. All right. I was passing... Yeah,
you're right.
Now, the Biden plan for strengthening America's commitment to justice, equality, equity, justice, these ideas form the American creed. We have never lived up to it, and we've always gotten it right, but we've never stopped trying. This is especially true when it comes to our criminal justice system. Today, too many people are incarcerated in the United States, and too many of them are black and brown. Why? Because of me, Joe Biden. To build safe and healthy communities, we need to rethink who we're sending to jail, how we treat those in jail, and how to help them get the health care, education, jobs, and housing they need to successfully rejoin society after they serve their time. As president, Joe Biden will undo Joe Biden's putting people in prison based on the color of their skin. The Biden plan for strengthening America's commitment to justice is based on undoing the Biden plan for putting everybody in jail. We can and must reduce the number of people incarcerated in this country while also reducing crime. No one should be incarcerated for drug use alone, despite what Joe Biden once did by putting people in jail for drug use alone. Our criminal justice system cannot be just unless we root out the racial, gender, and income-based disparities in the system. Disparities created by Joe Biden. Our criminal justice system must be focused on redemption and rehabilitation versus when Joe Biden stood up and said, throw away the key, lock him up. This is Joe Biden on the floor of the Senate in 1994, defending his crime bill against the charge that it wasn't tough enough.
And lastly, this notion that this is not tough. There are 60 new penalties
in 60 new death penalties, brand new, 60. There are 70 additional enhancements of penalties, i.e. you go to jail longer. This notion that the idea, the last statement my distinguished friend from Utah made, that this is, I thought he said, a giveaway program for re-election or something. I don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was, but we'll kill you. If we have a way to kill everybody now. We got 60 new ways to kill people. The feds, we'll kill everybody. That's my plan, the Biden plan. So now the Biden criminal justice plan, which is Joe Biden, I love this headline. Joe Biden's new criminal justice platform calls for eliminating harsh policies sponsored by Joe Biden. This is also Joe Biden now in 1991, boasting about expanding the death penalty and asset forfeiture, where they're able to just take all your stuff.
Under the leadership of Senator Thurman and...
So, by the way, stop for a second. That would be Strom Thurmond, who the Democrats say is a white supremacist and a Seggy. So Strom Thurmond now, his buddy Strom Thurmond, which is also why they hate Joe Biden, for that reason as well. Go ahead.
The fact of the matter is, we've gone from there all the way up to saying, under the leadership of Senator Thurmond, and I'd like to suggest that I take some small credit for it myself as well, and others, the presiding officer, that there is now a death penalty. And we passed it a couple years ago. If you are a major drug dealer involved in the trafficking of drugs and murder results in your activities, you go to death.
You go to death.
And a number of other severe penalties. We changed the law so that if you are arrested and you are a drug dealer, under our forfeiture statutes, you can, the government can, take everything you own. Everything from your car to your house, your bank account, not merely what they confiscate in terms of the dollars from the transaction that you just got caught engaging in. They can take everything. We have laws in the last several years where we don't allow judges' discretion to sentence people. Flat time sentencing. You get caught, you go to jail.
One of the provisions of the Joe Biden, undoing Joe Biden criminal reform bill is to eliminate mandatory minimums. Biden supports an end to mandatory minimums put in by Joe Biden. As president, he will work for the passage of legislation to repeal mandatory minimums at the federal level, and he will give states incentives to repeal their mandatory minimums. And once and for all, the federal crack and cocaine powder disparity put in by Joe Biden. So there you go. On and on as Joe Biden undoes the work of Joe Biden. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So there's a lot of anxiety growing around the Democrat Party right now as Joe Biden continues to gaff it up everywhere he goes. A story in Politico that I read over the weekend, Democrats are descending on Iowa with renewed anxiety. Actually, the Washington Post, with renewed anxiety. Yes, they're very, very nervous, as they should be, because Joe Biden keeps blowing it. And they are they're getting a little scared because, you know what? The first primary vote is in 6 months. That's right. And they're increasingly anxious that former Vice President Joe Biden, the front runner, has not disposed of persistent questions about whether he is well equipped to take on President Trump. They were nervous about his gaffes last week, including the one where he said poor kids are just as smart as white kids, and the facts versus truth, and all the other stuff that came out. They don't know what to do. And here's the other thing, too, that I think is really what the real problem is for Joe Biden. It's this quote right here from Alan Fearer, who is the party chairman in Madison County. Quote, now, he says, Joe Biden can resonate with the working class voters that Trump footed in the last go round. And that's what we need. He's close to the middle. He's a known quantity. He appeals to middle class voters. But boy, he's old. That shouldn't be a problem, and you don't like to say it, but he isn't as compelling verbally. There's starting to be a real fear that he cannot hold his own in the debate against Donald Trump. I wish he'd get his mojo back, they'd say. Now, a couple points. Joe Biden is going to pretend like he's in the middle. But the problem for him is that as he's in the woke Democrat primary now, he has to now move further left. And he keeps doing this. And this is his big problem. He keeps moving further left on all kinds of things that are going to absolutely make him unrecognizable to anyone who's a working class kind of guy. Working class voters don't want to hear that you're going to destroy coal and natural gas and that you're going to lay broadband cables for them to work on. They don't want to hear it. And that's what Joe Biden's been talking about. They also don't want to hear things like there's three genders, which Joe Biden said the other night. It sounds kooky. And of course, the problem for him is that not only is he going further left, but he's just doing a terrible job of it. He's blowing it big time. So one of the Biden delegates said, I wish he'd get his mojo back. I know he has it. I just haven't seen it. I'm not seeing him right now. You know, we've been saying that for a long time. And it's just he doesn't have it. He doesn't have the it factor. He's never had it. I mean, he's never had it. That's why he's run for president all these times. He's never gotten the nomination. But he really doesn't have it now in the sense of he doesn't even have the energy for this, I don't think. Biden may have the best chance of attracting Republican voters, they say. I'm done falling in love. I'm falling in line. I do struggle with it, but I just want Republicans to be able to feel comfortable and vote for him. So these are Democrats who are in Iowa, and it's a place that Barack Obama won in 2008. It's a place that theoretically they could win again. But the problem is that they have Joe Biden or a bunch of nut jobs. And Joe Biden increasingly is acting like a nut job. And Joe Biden's also acting like he's losing it. So they don't know what to do. And really, when you get to the crux of the article, here's the crux of the article. Ready? They don't have another candidate besides Joe Biden. It's like they're admitting, basically, remember this, too. If the Democrat Party is insane in New York and California, as you get a little bit closer to the middle of America, imagine that some of that lessens to a degree where you just get more moderate mainstream Democrats who are what the party used to be, perhaps, and I don't know why a lot of these voters are even bothering still being with the Democrat Party, but let's go with it for a second. And let's pretend like these voters in Iowa and other places in the middle of the country, they really just want a mainstream Democrat who's an alternative to Donald Trump. They don't want universal everything. They don't want college debt paid for. None of that stuff sells with them. They don't want the Green New Deal because a lot of them are working class people. They have no interest in this idea of spending $75 trillion to fight climate change or any of it. So their choices are Biden or crazy people. I mean, really, because none of the other Democrats who are running as moderates have a chance in hell either. You know, there's no chance that the governor of whatever that state is that no one's ever heard of is going to be president. I mean, the governor of the state that no one's ever... They've heard of the state. There's not the governor. You know, or the guy who's a congressman they've never heard of. These people are not going to become the nominee, and they know this. So their choices are Biden or Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, and they don't like those choices. But Biden is blowing it. And then over the weekend, he talked about how after the Parkland, Florida shooting, he remembered when those kids came to see him when he was vice president. Only the shooting happened after he left. He was no longer vice president. It happened long after he left the vice president's residence, long afterward. And they say that that's part of the problem with him, is that he's a gaffe machine, and he also, they think, just doesn't even have it anymore. The president pointed out over the weekend that he doesn't think Joe Biden's playing with a full deck. He doesn't think he's playing with a full deck. This is interesting. Arlene Davis, she's 67. She's a retired school teacher from Indianola. She waited to hear Biden speak the other night. She panned his candidacy so far, especially his debate performances. Quote, I was extremely disappointed. I expect more of him. He was uninspiring. He's trying to ride Obama's coattails instead of blazing his own path to distinguish himself from others. Gee, it was nice he was vice president. However, he's not vice president now. And if he wants to stand out, he has to do it soon on his own two feet. I want to know what he thinks, not what he did with Obama. That's why I'm here. But Biden's appearance that evening evidently did not convince her. Halfway through, she took out her phone and began playing a card game. A card game. By the way, Bill de Blasio attracted 15 people to an event. 15. Not 1,500. 15. Okay, just so you know, 15 people. De Blasio campaign event in Iowa draws roughly 15 attendees from the New York Post. Mayor Bill de Blasio pitched his presidential dreams to a crowd of about 15 likely Democrat voters at an event Sunday morning in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. What's more, I mean, 15. So there you go. I don't know. It seems like you got the Democrats have some major, major problems. Meanwhile, the president is packing arenas still, and most of the people that go there don't play card games. They are actually enthusiastic. They're very energized. They're having fun. They like being there. So much so that the media hates it, and then they start labeling everybody in the room a racist because they just can't deal with the fact that there's just so many people coming out to see the president at these large rallies. They just cannot deal with it. And on the Democrat side, you've got a guy, they can't fill rooms, and then when people do show up to hear them, they're sitting there playing, you know, Words with Friends or whatever the hell they're playing on their phone. So that's a big problem. And for Biden, Iowa's crucial for him. He said the other day that Iowa was the keys to the kingdom, but also presents a lot of challenges, too. Elizabeth Warren has been there for a long time campaigning. And looking like now, she's ahead by like 10 or 12 points. So it's very possible America's mother-in-law could, in fact, win Iowa. I mean, that's what they're saying right now. And so a lot of mainstream Democrats are nervous about that because they don't think she sells. And she doesn't sell, by the way. She doesn't sell. As they struggle to rally around a single nominee, Iowa Democrats are worried that the unprecedentedly large field is damaging their chances of defeating Trump. You think? They have a real problem. And the other problem is they have no one else. There's no Michelle Obama running to save the day. There's no one else coming to jump into the race. This is all they got. They realize that now. This is the best they got. And the best is not going to do it. And they know that. And it's not looking good for them.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Yes, happy Wednesday, kids. Happy hump day, 855-839-1210. You'd be shocked by this thinking of some people because it's probably not what you're being told every day, day after day. But theweek.com, I like The Week. It's more of a lefty perspective, but the writing's always good over there and kind of backs up some of my thinking of how they think, which is good. By the way, I want to ask a question, something for you to think about throughout the show today. So I'm going to do this segment at some point very, very soon. Bulletproof backpacks are now available in New Jersey. I'm wondering if you as a parent would actually want your kid to have one or not. All right? Bulletproof backpacks. We'll talk about that in just a second. But theweek.com, this is fascinating to me. They say, what will it take for the Democrat establishment to abandon Biden? Now, you may be thinking, well, yes, because of all his gaffes. Right? His malarkey and his gaffes and everything else. That's why they should. He's confused. He doesn't get it. He's confusing people. Like he doesn't know the difference between Theresa May and Margaret Thatcher. Both women, both prime ministers of England, but not the same person, obviously. But of course, all old white prime ministers look the same. And that's been true. I've said that for a long time. Or between Angela Merkel, who is the chancellor of Germany. But at least he didn't confuse her with another chancellor of Germany. So, you know, there's that. At least he didn't do that. There's truth over facts. There's the idea that poor kids are just as good as white kids. Blah, 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 blah. This guy writes here for theweek.com. He says, you know, these are signs of cognitive decline that will be familiar to anyone who, like me, spends a good deal of time in the company of people who are roughly Biden's age. As far as I'm aware, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the only prominent Democrat who's actually come out and said this, even though it must be painfully obvious to millions of Americans who have friends and relatives in their eighth or ninth or even 10th decade of life. So he goes on about the verbal gaffes and then also a lot of the things that Biden makes, but the endless nostalgia. We just have to go back to the way things were. He says none of these in and of itself is a bad thing. No one minds the fact that older people get confused about their own biographical details or view the past with rose-colored glasses. In fact, one of the nastiest things about American life is how appallingly we treat the elderly, especially those whose families will not or cannot attend to them personally. But to suggest that Biden's mental abilities are irrelevant to the presidential campaign is insane. I do not think there is a single sentient adult who actually believes this, least of all Biden himself. You cannot simultaneously bow before the awesome grandeur of a machine that exhaustively catalogs Donald Trump's false or misleading claims and then insist that Biden's verbal slip-ups are of no consequence. Which is why people who make excuses for Biden are always quick to mention the current president. Despite what is widely reported as more or less superhuman level of energy, Trump is bad at names and dates and, well, everything else that requires the ability to use words and his reasoning faculties. So basically what's happening here is here's this millennial writer for the week who I assume is woke. He writes for the week and he's a millennial. So I think by there you can kind of assume that he's both, right? He's a woke millennial. Matthew Walter. He's got the beard. He's got the goatee. This is the dude you see at brunch. This guy's definitely at brunch, no doubt in my mind. And his argument here, his basic argument is that old guy has lost it. Now, he prefaces it by saying, and I'm shocked and appalled by how we treat the elderly. So he's going to use a little ageism, but crouch it with the, but I mean, it's so, we're so mean to old people. This is amazing. I mean, he's openly saying this now. Old guy's lost it. Woohoo, out there, Pops has lost it. And isn't it so mean how we treat the elderly? We should give them better grades of Jell-O. Better Jell-O is what we did. They deserve it for all that they've done for us and whatnot. And then he compares him to Trump, of course, because he has to do those things. But then he writes this. Will the Democrat establishment ever come around to this? What would it take for a few bigwigs to say enough's enough, pull Biden aside, and ask him to stand down? Imagine a world in which, on the eve of the primaries, Biden holds a joint press conference with his old pal Barack, in which they both endorse, I don't know, Julian Castro, a fresh-faced youngster who is up to the task of defending the old Obama-era neoliberal consensus, but with the performative wokeness dialed up one or two notches. Ah, now my question is this now. Is it age or is it wokeness? See, now I got to ask the other question then. Is it ageism? You don't like old people, or you don't like old people who are losing it? Or is it the fact that Biden's not woke enough for you? Hipster? Because this guy's a total hipster. I mean, he's got the cool beard. And like I said, he probably wears shoes that cost a lot of money. You know, it's millennials love their shoes. They certainly do love their shoes, do they not? Hey, look, I'm not judging. Shoes are important. You got to go bowling and stuff. But I'm just saying, is it that or is it that Biden's not woke? Well, you know, bowling. Shoes. Millennials love the bowl. Okay, it's back now. It's hip bowling. Why have bowling shoes when you can just wear shoes that look like bowling shoes and then just go bowling? Have you seen some of the shoes?
I have.
They look like bowling shoes. Tell me I'm wrong.
They do.
Thank you.
And they're vegan friendly, right?
They're vegan bowling shoes is what people wear. And I think they're wearing that on the off chance there might be a spontaneous bowling game that happens at some point. And they want to be ready for it. In the old days, you had to change the shoes, get that awful spray the shoes, put them on.
Nobody liked to wear them.
No! Now, I've got my bowling shoes on 24/7. I am ready to go. So if you call me out for a spontaneous bowling duel right here in Fishtown, I am ready.
There's definitely a bowling spot in Fishtown.
You know that no libs, like people get upset with each other, they go, bowl, right now. And they just start rolling. That's what happens. They got their shoes. But he writes here, I for one cannot ever see this happening. This is not because it would be a good thing for the party and its fortune, but because Democrats value unity and loyalty and knowing one's place in the pecking order more than they do anything else, including winning elections. We saw this in 2016 when at least 10 of today's candidates running against the non-incumbent Trump would have had a better shot than Hillary Clinton, whose serious weaknesses were as apparent long before Iowa as they were on November 9th. Hillary waited for her turn. Now it's Joe's. He's not wrong in that sense. But you know what this tells me, though? A couple things. You notice how he didn't say, why don't we move Biden aside and get Bernie Sanders in there? Well, because Bernie's also an old white guy who I think has lost it years ago. And then there's America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, also an older American. I think a lot of the Democrats are ageist. I really do. I think they're ageist. I think that truth is coming out. They just think that they want a young person to run. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is who they want. They want her as their party standard bearer. They don't want these old geezers anymore. And what's fascinating is that they feel now emboldened enough to come out and start saying this stuff. You used to not say it publicly. You wouldn't write this stuff on theweek.com and accuse somebody of having early onset dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that. But they're doing it. They're doing it. So then I have to ask this question. if Biden does become the nominee, or Bernie Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren, do all these woke millennials stay home, or do they? No, not if it's Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, because at the end of the day, their ideology will trump everything else. But do you think snarky guys like this will actually stay home for Joe Biden just to teach the party a lesson? I do. I've been saying that. I believe it. And I think that's what he's basically trying to say here. He'll blame it on something else, of course. But at the end of the day, it'll be because you didn't listen to us. Stay woke.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.